the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra are described in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll read from here. Padvodato Ragupatir Vividhadrikutai Setum Kapindra Karakampita Purunangai Sugriva Nila Hanumat Pramukair Anikair Lankam Vibhishana Trishavishad Agradagdham. After constructing a bridge over the ocean, Sukadeva Goswami said, by throwing into the water the peaks of mountains whose trees and other vegetation had been shaken by the hands of great monkeys, Lord Ramchandra went to Lanka to release Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana. With the direction and help of Vibhishana, Ravana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers, headed by Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom, Lanka, which had previously been burnt by Hanuman. Purport. Great mountain peaks covered with trees and plants were thrown into the sea by the monkey soldiers and began to float by the supreme will of the Lord. By the supreme will of the Lord, many great planets float weightlessly in space like swabs of cotton. If this is possible, why should great mountain peaks not be able to float on water? This is the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can do anything and everything he likes because he is not under the control of the material nature. Indeed, material nature is controlled by him. Mayad yakshena prakriti suyate sacharachar. Only under his direction does prakriti, or material nature, work. Similar information is given in the Brahma Sangita. Yas yagnaya brahmatisam vrtakala chakra govindamadi purusham tamahang bhajami. Describing how material nature works, the Brahma Sangita says that the sun moves as desired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, for Lord Ramchandra to construct a bridge over the Indian Ocean with the help of monkey soldiers who threw great mountain peaks into the water is not at all wonderful. It is wonderful only in the sense that it has kept the name and fame of Lord Ramchandra eternally celebrated. Om Akyamatim Irandhasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shadrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavatutam Pradijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vansha Gopatarupyascha Kripa Sindho Pyaevacha Padita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vash Hari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Srila Prabhupada establishes here that the activities of Lord Ramchandra are not mythological. Prabhupada would often say, what is the difficulty? If Krishna can float planets in the vast expanse of space, what is the difficulty in floating a few boulders on the Indian Ocean? That's easy business. So it's not to be taken as simply a story, but once we accept that the personality of Godhead has unlimited power, these are small things. Savanarendra Bhaka, Savanarendra Balarudha Vihara Koshta, Sri Dwara Gopura Sado, Valabi Bitanka, Nirbhajyamana Tishana, Dwajahema Kumbha, Shringataka Gajakular, Pradiniva Ghurna. After entering Lanka, the monkey soldiers, led by the chiefs like Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, occupied all the sporting houses, granaries, treasuries, palace doorways, city gates, assembly houses, palace frontages, and even the resting houses of the pigeons. When the city's crossroads, platforms, flags, and golden water pots on its domes were all destroyed, the entire city of Lanka appeared like a river disturbed by a herd of elephants. This was Lord Ramchandra's army, made up mainly of monkeys. A proper army would have elephants. Lord Ramchandra had monkeys, but they created havoc in Lanka. You can imagine, suppose in Dubai, all of a sudden, if it was overrun by monkeys, and they started smashing all the windows, pulling down the traffic lights. What else might monkeys do? There's no end to what monkeys might do. Everywhere monkeys swinging on everything, pulling everything apart. Monkeys can be exceedingly destructive. So if the whole city of Dubai were overrun by monkeys, it would be a disaster. The king's palace, monkeys everywhere. It would be disastrous. But that's what happened in Lanka. The whole city was overrun by monkeys. They had powerful soldiers with all sorts of weapons, but the monkeys overran everything and started tearing the whole city to shreds. Raksha patis tadavalokya nikumbha kumbha dhum raksha durmukha surantaka nara surantaka narantakarin putram prahasta matikaya vikampanarin sarvangunan samahinod atakumbhukarnam. When Ravana, master of the Rakshasas, saw the disturbances created by the monkey soldiers, he called for Nikumbha, Kumbha, Dhumraksha, Durmukha, Surantaka, Narantaka, and other Rakshasas, and also his own son, Indrajit. Thereafter he called for Prahasta, Atikaya, Vikampana, and finally, Kumbhakarna. Then he induced all his followers to fight against the enemies. This is going to be quite a confrontation. These were all the most powerful Rakshasas. And we're going to see these Rakshasa commanders on one side, and on the other side, the monkey army of Lord Ramchandra. Tam yatudhana pritanam asishula chapa Prasarshti Shakti Saratomara Kadbadurgam Sugriva Lakshmana Marut Sutaganta Madha Nilanga Darksha Panasadi Biranvitogat. Lord Ramchandra surrounded by Lakshman and monkey soldiers like Sugriva, Hanuman, and Gandhamada, Nila, Angada, Jambavan, and Panasa, attacked the soldiers of the Rakshasas, who were fully equipped with various invincible weapons like swords, lances, bows, prasas, rishtis, shakti arrows, kudgadas, and tomaras, all sorts of high-tech weapons of the day. Te nikapa raghupater abhipatya sarve dvanvam varutami papati ritashva yodhai jagnur jumayar giri gade shubir angadadya sitam pimarsha hata mangala ravaneshan. Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramchandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramchandra killed Ravana's soldiers, who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. Purport. The soldiers Lord Ramchandra recruited in the jungle were all monkeys and did not have proper equipment with which to fight the soldiers of Ravana. For Ravana's soldiers were equipped with weapons of modern warfare, whereas the monkeys could only throw stones, mountain peaks, and trees. It was only Ramchandra and Lakshman who shot some arrows. But because the soldiers of Ravana were condemned by the curse of Mother Sita, the monkeys were able to kill them simply by throwing stones and trees. There are two kinds of strength, daiva and purushakara. Daiva refers to the strength achieved from the transcendence, and purushakara refers to the strength organized by one's own intelligence and power. Transcendental power is always superior to the power of the materialist. Depending on the mercy of the Supreme Lord, one must fight one's enemies, even though one may not be equipped with modern weapons. Therefore, Krishna instructed Arjuna, Ma manusmara yujacha, think of me and fight. We should fight our enemy to the best of our ability, but for victory we must depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similar confrontation was there at Kurukshetra. The Kaurava army was superior. They had numbers. The Klauswitz, the great authority on warfare, still read today, says that all other things considered, what wins a war is numbers. All other things being equal or even not equal, numbers, just sheer numbers. So the Kauravas had numbers. I forget the number, but how many they had against the Pandavas. They were vastly superior in numbers. And they had the more experienced general. They had Bhishma Dev, the grandfather of everyone. They had Dronacharya, the military instructor of everyone of the Pandavas and Kauravas. So they were in the superior position. But Jayastu Panduputranam Yesham Pakshe Janardana. Victory was on the side of the Pandavas because Krishna was there. If Krishna wants to kill someone, no one can save him. And if Krishna wants to save someone, no one can kill him. The victory is not decided simply by numbers, simply by power of one's weapons. Ultimately, according to the desire of the Lord, either according to one's karma or according to the Lord's direct intervention. Sometimes we see that one side is more powerful, they have everything, but according to their karma, they can't win. They're destined to lose. They're destined to lose. And sometimes we see that they must win according to their karma. That United States, they were up against a batch of, what would you call them? Villagers, really. The Vietnamese were mostly villagers. Irregulars, that's what they call them in military parlance. You know, they were just local guys. And they were facing the most powerful army in the world with so many trained soldiers and so much materiel, you know, planes and napalm and this kind of bomb and that kind of bomb and unlimited supplies, unlimited wealth. And the big guy lost. They were not destined to win. So no matter what they did, they were a failure. They were a failure. So here it's indicated that the Ravana was doomed to fail, particularly because he'd angered Mother Sita. He directly tried to exploit the goddess of fortune for his own enjoyment, and therefore he ruined himself. That was his great downfall. That he thought that he could enjoy the energy of the Lord. And why do I care about this Lord? Let me enjoy. The devotee, this is a suric mentality. To enjoy the energy of the Lord without consideration of the Lord. The devotee mentality is to serve the Lord and to use the Lord's energy in the Lord's service. Engage the Lord's energy in the Lord's service. And the demon grabbed the Lord's energy for their own enjoyment. So this the devotees receive the grace of the internal energy of the Lord. And the demons are destroyed by the energy of the Lord. They're destroyed by either by the external energy of the Lord, where Ravana was more fortunate, he was directly killed by Lord Ramchandra. The other point Prabhupada makes is that we have to perform our duty and depend on Krishna for the results. The karmanye vadikaraste ma paleshu kadacham. We may win or we may lose, but we have to make the attempt for Krishna's service. And if Krishna desires, against all odds, we can win. And if Krishna desires and we lose, still there's no loss. That Jatayu fought against Ravana and lost. But for him there was no loss, it was glorious. Therefore Krishna told Arjuna that you fight, and whether you lose or you win, it's glorious. If you lose, you'll go to the heavenly planets. And if you win, you win. Either way, you win. And if you chicken out, if you flee the battlefield, if you think, oh, I won't fight, then there's no way you can win because you're not going to fight, and you'll lose your reputation as a fighter. Whatever happens, you lose. And the other way, whatever happens, you win. By following the order of the Lord, one always wins, even if he loses. And by defying the order of the Lord, one always loses, even if it seems that for the moment he's going to win something. All his losses will be, all his gains will be taken away. Moga sha, moga karmano, moga jnana vichetasa. Rakshasim asurim chaiva prakritim mohinim shatara. all their hopes and aspirations will finally be smashed. It's just like Ravana, golden city, Swarna Lanka. And the whole thing was torn apart by monkeys. So it's very in one sense we don't think about it, but you can imagine if we were actually in such a crisis that we had to fight. We're sort of going about our business. We're fighting over parking space. But imagine if we actually had to fight like this. Or sometimes we have our challenges. So here the instruction is there, that just do it and depend on Krishna's mercy. If it's successful, it's successful. If it fails, it fails. But the attempt is glorious. So the monkey soldiers did that. They just depended on the mercy of Lord Ramchandra. They were determined to fight. That's all. That's also the Kshatriya spirit, apart from Krishna consciousness. Kshatriya fights, that's all. He may win, he may lose, but he's going to fight. That's the Kshatriya spirit. But added, that fight and Mamanusma, not simply fight, although Krishna says fight for the sake of fighting, but then later he says, Mamanusmara Yudhisthira, fight and think of me. That's the real essence of the thing. Not just to perform our duty, but to perform our duty in Krishna consciousness. Raksha pati svabala nashtim aveksha rushta aruya yanakam athabhisharsa bhishasara ramam svasyandane jumati matilinopanite vibrajamanam ahanan nishitai shuru shura prai. Thereafter, when Ravana, the king of the Rakshasas, observed that his soldiers had been lost, he was extremely angry. Thus he mounted his airplane, which was decorated with flowers, and proceeded toward Lord Ramchandra, who sat on the effulgent chariot brought by Matali, the chariot driver of Indra. Then Ravana struck Lord Ramchandra with sharp arrows. In one sense, this is glorious, that Ravana, at least when everyone, all of his soldiers are being smashed, he didn't turn and run. Now, all right, I'll fight. This is Krishna's arrangement. You know the history, how Jai and Vijay fell from the spiritual world. Because Krishna wanted to fight, and fighting means there needs to be suitable opponents. And who can be the suitable opponent? The devotee of the Lord will be the right opponent. The devotee will take up the role of opponent also. Prabhupada gives the example, just like the king keeps some wrestlers and pays them, keeps them on the payroll to fight with him. So that's also service. Sometimes the king enjoys fighting. So that's also service. So Krishna wanted to enjoy fighting. Therefore, we have a fighting propensity. Because originally it's in Krishna. So Ravana is going to be a good opponent. He's not just going to turn tail and run. But having lost his soldiers, he's personally going to stand and fight against Lord Ramchandra. And he's got an airplane decorated with flowers, and now he's striking Lord Ramchandra with sharp arrows. That's also the demonic mentality, directly to attack God. The demonic scientists, every now and then someone comes out with another book, there's no God, God is ridiculous, it's foolish to believe in God, science has shown that there's no need of God. So they directly attack God. But God always has the last say, Mrityu Sarvaharasjaha. There may be no God as far as your thinking is concerned, but for you, God is death. What is God? God is all-powerful. God is everywhere. So, for you, here's God. Prabhupada said, you don't want to offer obeisances, you'll be forced to lie flat. Mrityu Sarvaharasya. So, Krishna deals with these demons as death. But the devotees before the demons die also fight with the demons. That you're publishing all rubbish. Your theories, your rhetoric is all empty talk, all bluff, all foolishness. It's the duty of the devotees to fight with the demons. It's not that the demons should just be able to say anything and we just sit there and say, yeah, well, we don't care. Prabhupada said, they say, you say. When they're speaking their rubbish, they should be challenged. Prabhupada was very pleased when his disciples would challenge the fools and rascals. Prabhupada was very happy. Very happy. One of my godbrothers, Hansadutta, who challenged one scientist in Sri Lanka, Dr. Kavur, and defeated him quite strongly, just using Prabhupada's arguments. Prabhupada was very happy, very pleased. So we should do that. Challenge the demons, not just let them walk away with everything. They should be challenged. So now Ravana is directly attacking Lord Ramchandra with arrows. Ramastamaha purushada purisha yanna kanta samaksham asatapahrita svavate jyakta trapasya palamadya jugupsitasya yachchami kala ivakartur alangya virya. Lord Ramchandra said to Ravana, you are the most abominable of the man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. You resemble a dog. For as a dog steals eatable from the kitchen in the absence of the householder, in my absence you kidnap my wife, Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful, and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you. Sometimes in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, satyam priyahitam chayat. One should, in the mode of goodness, we speak words that are true and very pleasing. But here, Lord Ramchandra is not choosing to use pleasing words, although the words are very pleasing to the devotees. We also sometimes have a tendency to insult others. That comes originally from the Lord as well. Ramantam aha, Lord Ravana said, Purusha ada purisha. You are the stool of the man-eaters. Purusha ada purisha. Yatna kanta asamaksham asata aparita, because you kidnapped my helpless wife, asamaksham. I was absent, she was helpless, and you kidnapped her, svavbat, like a dog. like a dog, just grabbing. Svavat. Svavat te chakta trapasya. Shameless. Palamadya. I'll give you the result today. Jugupshitasya. You. Most abominable. Yachchami. I'll punish you. Kala Eva, like death himself, like Yamaraj. Kartu, Alangya Virya, my attempt will never be thwarted, my efforts will never fail, and so now you're going to get it. Nacha daivat param balam. No one can surpass the strength of the transcendence. Ravana was so sinful and shameless that he did not know what the result would be of kidnapping Mother Sita, the pleasure potency of Ramchandra. This is the disqualification of the Rakshasas. Asatyam apratishtam te jagadahur anishana. The Rakshasas are unaware that the Supreme Lord is the ruler of the creation. They think that everything has come about by chance or accident, and that there's no ruler, king, or controller. Therefore, the Rakshasas act independently, as they like, going even so far as to kidnap the goddess of fortune. This policy of Ravana's is extremely dangerous for the materialist. Indeed, it brings ruin to the materialistic civilization. Nonetheless, because atheists are rakshasas, they dare to do things that are most abominable, and thus they are punished without fail. Religion consists of the orders of the Supreme Lord, and one who carries out these orders is religious. One who fails to carry out the Lord's orders is irreligious, and he is punished. He is to be punished. The Rakshasas are stupid. The demons are stupid. They're opposing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's absolutely stupid. We find, who was that Dantavakra? Just came onto the battlefield with just like a club and practically no weapons. He was just so angry. You've killed my friends. You've killed my friends. So he's going to attack Krishna. Well, yeah, it's stupid. He doesn't have a chance. But that's the nature of the demons. Maya Pratigyana. Their knowledge is stolen by illusion. So they're so foolish that they somehow think that they can thwart the Lord himself. And they can overcome his plan, his orders. Hiranyakashipu. By my intelligence, I'll make a plan by which I'll become immortal. I'll be infallible. Stupid. Any sane person, how can I become immortal? How can I overcome the power of the all-powerful? But Maya Pratigyan, by the power of Maya, they become foolish. And think, they couldn't do it, but I can do it. Even the scientists, they sometimes have some idea to become immortal, conquer death, we'll freeze the body and we'll bring people back to life.
Walt Disney,
yeah. We'll go to the moon by our own power. In so many ways, they think that we can do whatever we like, whatever we set our mind to. We only have to set our mind to it, and we can do it. That bewildering idea is there. It's just a question of, even people, they're really bewildered. It's just positive thinking. If I think right, if I just get in the right mindset, I can do anything. Totally foolish. Whatever I set my mind to, I can do. In the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there are five factors in the accomplishment of any action. Adhishtanam tathakarta karanam cha pratak vidha vividaischa pratak cheshta dayavam chaiva prapanchama. The place, the doer, the senses, the various kinds of endeavor that you bring to the effort, and finally, the will of the Supreme Lord. Those are the five. Therefore, Krishna says that anyone who doesn't take these five into account, he's a fool. What is it? Let's see. Tatraivam satikartaram atmanam kevalam tu yaha pashyatya akritabuddhitvan nasa pashyati durmiti. He's a fool. He's a fool. He can't see things as they are. So the person who can see knows that finally everything depends on divine power. Nacha daivat param balam. No one can overcome the will of destiny. Destiny means the Supreme Lord, finally. Destiny impersonally conceived, or the Supreme Lord impersonally conceived is destiny. Finally, behind destiny, there's the will of the Lord. The astrology and the planets and destiny. But behind all of that is Krishna. No one can overcome Krishna's arrangement. But the demons are so foolish, they think they can. They can overcome, they can conquer nature, they can harness nature, they can they can enjoy the resources, exploit the resources of material nature. It's not possible. Nature always gets the upper hand. They're foolish. They don't understand what's. They think that they can stop the miseries of material life just by a head-on attack. You know, by medical means or by throwing money at the problem. One way or another way, they can. But it's not possible. It's not possible. Material nature's mamamaya duratya. Insurpassable. Daivam chaivatra pancham. Finally, behind everything is Krishna's will. Therefore, when Krishna desires, everything is overturned. The best army, the best everything, best plans, best generals, in a moment, finished. Daiva. Finally, it depends on Daiva, the will of the personality of Godhead. At Waterloo, really, Napoleon had the better, he was the better general, he had the better army, and he lost everything in a moment. Just little things went against him, and the whole thing turned into a disaster. The biggest men in the material world, how big are they? So Lord Ramchandra is insulting Ravana. That means the Lord is not one-sided. It's not that God is simply loving and affectionate and, you know, patting the calf on the head. But he's angry also. He's violent also. Prabhupada used to say, God is not one-sided, he's all-sided. So he's not only, he can speak so sweetly, he can speak so sweetly to anyone. But he can also speak caustically, insultingly to a demon like Ravana. Evam chipan dhanushi sanditam utsasarja vanam sabhadram ivatad dridayam bipedi bibeda. So srig vaman dashamukhair nyapatat vimanad dha heti jalpati jane sukritiva riktaha. After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramchandra fixed an arrow on his bow, aimed at Ravana, and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. 10 heads make you very formidable. But when Lord Ramchandra is finished with you, the 10 heads are just 10 mouths to vomit from as you're meeting your death. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Kshine punye martyalokam vishanti. When the results of their pious activities are exhausted, those who have enjoyed in the heavenly planets fall again to earth. The fruitive activities of this material world are such that whether one acts piously or impiously, one must remain within the material world according to different conditions. For neither pious nor impious actions can relieve one from Maya's clutches of repeated birth and death. Somehow or other, Ravana was raised to an exalted position as the king of a great kingdom with all material opulences. But because of his sinful act of kidnapping Mother Sita, all the results of his pious activities were destroyed. If one offends an exalted personality, especially the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one certainly becomes most abominable. Bereft of the results of pious activities, one must fall down like Ravana and other demons. It is therefore advised that one transcend both pious and impious activities and remain in the pure state of freedom from all designations. Sarvopadi vinir muktam tatpra trena nirmalam. When one is fixed in devotional service, he is above the material platform. On the material platform, there are higher and lower positions, but when one is above the material platform, he is always fixed in a spiritual position. Sagunan simititayatan pramubhuyaya kolpate. Ravana or those like him may be very powerful and opulent in this material world, but theirs is not a secure position, because after all, they are bound by the results of their karma. Karmana daivane trena. We should not forget that we are completely dependent on the laws of nature. He offended an exalted person. That's the way to ruination. The Bhagavatam is very clear about this, that when we insult a great soul, offend a great soul, we lose everything. Pious activities, results of pious acts, longevity, intelligence, character, everything goes to hell if we offend exalted persons. Therefore, one is warned again and again against Vaishnava aparadhas, because the Vaishnavas are the most exalted. So if we offend the Vaishnavas, then we invite our doom. We invite our doom. That Shaupari Muni offended Garuda and ruined himself. And there are many, of course, the Kauravas offended Draupadi they ruin themselves. Simply by offending a devotee of the Lord or a great soul, one can ruin everything. Whatever advancement one has, whatever assets, education, intelligence, aristocracy, money, doesn't matter. Nothing can protect us. The Lord doesn't tolerate offenses to his pure devotees. We should be very careful about Vaishnavapura. We should be afraid of Vaishnavapuras. Hiranyakashipu, by offending Prahlad Maharaj, ruined himself. Very careful. And this Ravana, he offended the Lord. He angered the Lord's Shakti, his wife. And therefore he was finished. The way a person falls from the heavenly planets when his pious activities run out. We see that. Not that, we don't see people falling from the heavenly planets except in Shastra. But we're informed that you get your pious credit, you go to the heavenly planets, you use up your pious credit, and then you fall. Otherwise, we see that in ordinary affairs. Someone becomes big, 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 and then his credit runs out, and he crashes. He crashes. So many big men, either they're assassinated, or they're thrown out of office, or they're caught in some scandal, or detected in some illegal dealings. After coming to a very high platform, by pious activities, the previous pious credit, they're exalted, and then their credit runs out, and they're nothing. Even empires, the same thing happens. By past pious credit, by the will of the Lord, they become big. And then they seem invincible. They're just one success after another. Rome, Britain. There's so many, Byzantine Empire, Ottoman Empire, Roman Empire, so many empires and empires. Soviet Empire. So they seem unstoppable. They're so powerful. They have technology. They have strategy. They just... And then their pious credit runs out and they become nothing. Portuguese. The Portuguese were once the power in the world. If you go to Lisbon today, the capital of Portugal, you can't believe that it was ever the center of anything. It's like a city that thought about being something and gave up. It's nothing. Ordinary, less than ordinary city. And it was the capital of the world power. So many great powers like that. The British, the power was all over the world. Now Britain is, it's a shadow. Now the big power is the United States of America. They can do anything they want. Mr. Bush was going all over the world just saying, you got to do what we want. We don't care what treaty we signed. We don't care what agreement we made. This is the way it's got to be. And still the Americans are going on with their, they'll invade any country. They've got power, economic power, military power, this power, that power. So practically America's the ruling country. They'll divide everybody else up, fighting among themselves. They'll control them this way or that way. So now America is the world empire. Even their biggest competitor is finished, Soviet Union. Now it's finished. So America's the one world superpower. But they'll be finished. Their credit will run out, and they'll become like Portugal. Maybe people will, whoever wins later will say, this country has to be divided up in little pieces, like Germany, so that they won't cause trouble ever again. They've done so many atrocities, they should be divided up in little pieces. Or maybe they'll just undergo such economic disaster that they'll become helpless, dependent on others. Or maybe they'll be just overrun by enemy forces, like the Romans. They were just overrun by hoodlums, practically. We don't know. The only thing that's certain is their credit will run out and they'll become another one-time empire. They'll be history, as they say. No one can, because that's what happens. Your pious credit runs out and you fall. Because we're completely dependent on the laws of material. It's not within our hands. We're Americans. We can, anything we set our minds on, we can do. Huh? You're a little punk. Material nature, with a flick of her finger, can take care of millions of empires like you in a moment. And typically, the powers, they become so big, they think they can do anything, they can exploit, they can inflict any kind of cruelty. And then finally, material nature says, all right, enough of you, out. So that happened with Ravana. He thought of, well, let's see, did we read? No, yes, we did. He thought he could do whatever he liked for his sense gratification. Now he's finished. Tato nishkramya lankaya yatu hanya sahasra shaha mandodarya samam tatra prarudantya upadravan. Now all the women whose husbands had fallen in the battle, headed by Mandodari, Ravana's wife, came out of Lanka. Continuously crying, they approached the dead bodies of Ravana and the other Rakshasas. Swan, swan, bandhun, parisvajya, lakshmaneshu bhiraditan, rurudu, suswaram dina, gnantya, atmanam atmana. Striking their breasts in affliction, because their husbands had been killed by the arrows of Lakshman, the women embraced their respective husbands and cried piteously in voices appealing to everyone. Ha hata sma vayam nata loka ravana ravana kam yayach sharanam lanka twad vihina parardita. O my lord, O master, you epitomized trouble for others, and therefore you were called Ravana. But now that you've been defeated, we also are defeated. For without you, the state of Lanka has been conquered by the enemy. To whom will it go for shelter? Purport, Ravana's wife, Mandodari, and the other wives knew very well how cruel a person Ravana was. The very word Ravana means one who causes crying for others. Ravana continuously caused trouble for others, but when his sinful activities culminated in giving trouble to Sita Devi, he was killed by Lord Ramchandra. Na vai veda maha bhaga bhavan kama vasham gataha Tejonu pavam sitaya yena nito dasham imam. O greatly fortunate one, you came under the influence of lusty desires, and therefore you could not understand the influence of Mother Sita. Now, because of her curse, you have been reduced to this state, having been killed by Lord Ramchandra. Not only was Mother Sita powerful, but any woman who follows in the footsteps of Mother Sita can also become similarly powerful. There are many instances of this in the history of Vedic literature. Whenever we find a description of ideal chaste women, Mother Sita is among them. Mandodari, the wife of Ravana, was also very chaste. Similarly, Draupadi was one of the five exalted chaste women. Someone know the list? Sita, Draupadi, Mandodari, who are the other two? No, if we're guessing, we don't know. There's a verse. There's a sloka. Okay.
Draupadi also?
Draupadi? Is Arundhati one of them? Draupadi, Mandodari. Okay. I don't know. I'm sure I've heard it, but I don't know. There's five. Okay, that's your homework, somebody. Okay, ladies, that's your homework. Find out who the five are. As a man must follow great personalities like Brahma and Narada, a woman must follow the path of such ideal women.
It's Ahalya, Draupadi, Sita, Tara, Mandodari, Panchakanya.
Okay, we've got our sources. So who were the two that we missed?
Tara and Ahalya.
Ahalya, who stopped the sun from setting. And one more?
Tara. Tara, Tara.
Tara was the wife of Sugriva.
Okay. So five chaste women. Homework got done fast. As a man must follow great personalities like Brahma and Narada, a woman must follow the path of such ideal women as Sita, Mandodari, and Draupadi. By staying chaste and faithful to her husband, a woman enriches herself with supernatural power. It is a moral principle that one should not be influenced by lusty desires for another's wife. Matravat paradareshu. An intelligent person must look upon another's wife as being like his mother. This is a moral injunction from Chanakya Shloka. Matravat paradareshu paradrevyeshu lostravat. Atmavat sarvabhuteshu ya pashyati sa pandita. One who considers another's wife as his mother, another's possessions, as a lump of dirt, and treats all other living beings as he would himself, is considered to be learned. Thus Ravana was condemned not only by Lord Ramchandra, but even by his own wife, Mandodari. Because she was a chaste woman, she knew the power of another chaste woman, especially such a wife as Mother Sita Devi. In Bhagavad Gita it said, Jai Shatru Maha Baho Kamarupa Durasana. That one should conquer lusty desires because those lusty desires are Gana Vigana Nashanam. What is the verse? Tasmat tvam indriyanyado niyamya paratarshapa papmanam prajahi yenam gyanavigyana nashanam. How could he be such a fool to kidnap, first of all, anyone else's wife, and especially the wife of Lord Ramchandra? He's writing his own death warrant. How could he be so stupid? But that's lust. Jnana vijnana nashanam. That lust makes one stupid. It makes one stupid. And so many examples can be seen from history, from your own experience, from the newspaper headlines, that people do things that are absolutely stupid, that no intelligent person, no sane person would do, just because of lusty desires. They become overwhelmed by lusty desires, and they do something totally stupid. I happened to look at a newspaper headline today. One big Hollywood director was arrested, and he's in trouble now for something from years ago. He raped some young girl, 13-year-old girl, something like that. How can you be so stupid? Sex is sex. Jail is jail. Rape is rape. You rape a 13-year-old girl, you go to jail. It's pretty simple. Anyone can figure it out. Why? Just lust. Get some thirst in the mind. Don't control the senses. And then you're doing something, immoral, of course, but apart from immoral, stupid. Just stupid. You must be crazy. So many examples can be given. People doing things that are just mad. Just mad. Out of lust. Risk their career, risk their good name, risk everything, risk their money. Marry someone, that they know. Any intelligent person can see. This woman is interested in your money only. Any fourth grader can figure it out. But the guy becomes bewildered by lusty desires and marries the girl and loses the money It's like, you don't have to have a brain to figure it out. But if you don't have a brain, you can't figure it out. And jnana vijnana nashanam. By lusty desires, they lose their kamais taister, hrita jnana. By lusty desires, one loses one's intelligence. They're the demigod worshippers, that's the context of that verse. How could you be so stupid as to worship some underling instead of the Supreme Personality of God? To be worshipping some minor deity who himself, they're worshipping Indra, they're worshipping Chandra, they're worshipping this one. Somebody who can't even hold on to his own property. Who's also under the clutches of death. They're worshipping such a person. Maya pritagan. Kamais taistar pritagan. Even worshipping Lord Shiva, who's not under the clutches of the material nature. Still, why? He's not the number one. He's under the orders of the Lord. But for satisfaction of material desires, there's so many demons. The Ravanas worshipping Lord Shiva, the Vrikasura worshipping Lord Shiva, that, who was that? Had 1,000 arms? Banasuras worshipping Lord Shiva. There's so many. But when Krishna goes against them, that Banasura had his arms cut off, he had thousands of arms. Krishna, why aren't you helping him? He's your devotee. No. The Ravana, why didn't Lord Shiva help him? He's Lord Shiva's great devotee. Why didn't Lord Shiva help him? He's gone against the orders, gone against Krishna. He can't be helped. But they become puffed up. They think, I'll do sacrifice. That's mentioned. Dambena vidipurvakam. Nama yagyaiste. Dambena vidipurvakam. They become puffed up and they'll think, I'll do this yagya, I'll do that yagya. You know, that'll be powerful. I'll do a sahasra this or a sahasra that. Then I'll have power. Kritagyana. If you offend great souls, if you try to exploit material nature, if you offend chaste women, if you simply try to satisfy your own lusty desires and exploit the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, transgressing his laws, then Gyanavijnana Nashanam, your intelligence and your knowledge have gone to hell. Kritaisha vidhava lanka vayamcha kulanandana deha kritonam gridranam atma naraka hetave. O pleasure of the Rakshasa dynasty, because of you the state of Lanka and also we ourselves now have no protector. By your deeds you've made your body fit to be eaten by vultures and your soul fit to go to hell. Purport. One who follows the path of Ravana is condemned in two ways. His body is fit to be eaten by dogs and vultures and the soul goes to hell. As stated by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita, Tanaham Dishata Kruran Sangsareshu Naradaman Shipam Yajasrama Shubhan Asri Shveba Yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demonic species of life. Thus the destination of godless atheists such as Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, and Dantabhakra is a hellish condition of life. Mandodari, the wife of Ravana, could understand all this because she was a chaste woman. Although lamenting the death of her husband, she knew what would happen to his body and soul. For although one cannot see directly with one's material eyes, one can see with eyes of knowledge. Pashyanti jnana chakshusha. In Vedic history, there are many instances of how one becomes godless and condemned by the laws of nature. So this is the position of the demons, finally. Atanaham drishata kuran. Sangsareshu Narada. People think they can get away with anything. Krishna says again and again, down, down, down. This Krishna consciousness movement is meant for Paratranaya Sadhuna, Vinashaya Chaduskritam, giving shelter to the fortunate persons. And fighting with the demons. At least challenging their nonsense, their rubbish, their godless values, godless way of life, godless philosophy. It should be challenged by the Krishna consciousness movement. Otherwise, even if we don't challenge them, material nature will finish them off. But that's our duty in Krishna's service. We should, of course, even the godless persons, they can be changed by good fortune if they take up the chanting of Hare Krishna. But otherwise, those who are determined to oppose the personality of Godhead should be challenged very strongly. That's the duty of Krishna's devotees. All right, Hare Krishna. Do we have time for a question or two? Yeah, okay. Question? Yeah. Lord Ramchandra is worshipping, offering respects. But he's not in illusion about who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demigods are to be respected, but not that the demigods are equal to the Personality of God. That's all. Yes.
Brahmavadi.
Those who want to become one with Brahma. Brahmavadi. Yeah, the impersonalists.
Mayavadis.
Yeah, well, there's two kinds of Mayavadis, the Brahmavadis and the Nirvisheshvadis. The Buddhists and the Shankarites. They're both Mayavadis. Their philosophy is that everything's Maya. Only the everything's Maya. The Buddhists say everything is Maya. There's nothing but Maya. Finally, you have to dismantle Maya, and then you attain release, and there's nothing. Their whole idea is getting free from illusion. And when you're free from illusion, then there's no self. There's no God, certainly. So they're Mayavadis, but Nirvishesha bodies. They're one kind of Mayavadis. And the other kind, they say again that this everything is Maya, except the Absolute Truth. What is the Absolute Truth? The Absolute Truth has no form, no qualities, no name, no. So again, it's practically Buddhism, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said covered Buddhism.
Shunyavad
is. I'm sorry, Shunyavad. Did I say Nirvisheshvad the first time? Shunyavad. The Buddhists are Shunyavad. Everything is zero. Voidists. Then, on Shankara's side, Nirvisheshvad, that there's no difference when you retain the Supreme, there's no difference between anything. It's all, homogenized and pasteurized. Everything is one. Eka Brahma Dutiya Nasti. There can't be anything else. The appearance of anything else other than the impersonal Brahma is simply due to illusion. So they're after that Brahma. They're called Brahmavadis. And the Buddhists are after that Shunya. So they're called Shunyavadis. And together they make up the larger category of Mayavadis.
Subcategory.
Yeah, there are different species of Mayavadis. The Shunyavadis and the Nirvisheshvadis.
Is there any word for demigod worshippers?
Yeah. And Prabhupada mentions in Bhagavad Gita, Pavishwaravadis. Yeah, Bahu Ishwaravadis. They think there are five different gods, Lord Shiva, Durga, Vishnu, Surya, Ganesh. Five gods, Panchopashana. And doesn't really matter which one you worship because they're all just ways to the ultimate. they're just different faces of the Supreme. You know, they're different qualitative representations of the ultimate quality-less Supreme. So you worship any of them. So they're called Bahuishra bodies, many gods. Is that okay?
In Bhagavatam, in loads of cantos, many cantos, there has been described like the age of Manu is equal to 71 Yuga or Kal. And few cantos, like one or two cantos, it has been described the age of Manu is equal to 72 Yuga or Kal. I was listening one lecture. In that lecture, Guru Maharaj was mentioning that the age of one Manu is equal to 72 Yuga or Kal.
72?
72 Yuga or Kal. So, in which way we have to accept the things? The one has been described in Bhagavatam.
You can go into third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and you get the exact numbers.
71.
You get the exact numbers. 71, as I recall, is rounded off. These are round numbers. You can look in the Bhagavatam. There are manvantaras. There are periods that are like overlap, you know, transition, you know, like when the one president is leaving office and the other president is coming into office. So there's that. So the precise numbers are given in third canto Srimad Bhagavatam. Calculation of time from the atom is the name of the chapter. Starts with the smallest unit of time. Time you need for three paramanus to come together. Atomic time. All the way up to Lord Brahma's time. And finally up to Lord Vishnu's time. The whole calculation of time is given. So there you'll find the how long are these yugas are and
most emphasis has been given over 72 yuga kal.
What emphasis? I don't understand your question.
Means in mostly part, in everywhere, they emphasize the age of Manu is equal to 71.
Okay.
And only one, I think six or seven canto, where there has been described like the age of Manu is equal to 72.
What's it to you? You have to put another 3 dirhams in the parking meter or something? What? What is the final point? I've already said that they're rounded out numbers. So now what more do you want to know? Whether it's 71 or 72?
Yeah, it's confusing between 71 and 72.
I understand that. But now that it's round numbers, what's the problem? We have to look it up. See if we find something specific. So I don't.
Today is an auspicious occasion of Vijayadashmi, so it's wonderful to have Maharaj actually with us here, and we could all make a small token donation on this day, donating to the acharyas.
71 or 72? In Bhagavatam, it's Eka Saptatim, 71. A little more than 71 sets of. I see. Sa Adikam, he Eka Saptatim. A little more than 71. So it's not 71.
Plus.
And it's not 72. Sa adikam, he eka saptatim. A little more than 71. That set things straight? Now you know how much you have to put in the parking meter? A little more than 71. To be precise, oh, well, it's not precise. It's about 852,000 years in the calculation of the demigods, or 306,720,000 of your years. Give or take a few years, one way or the other. Sorry?
1,000 divided by
14. Yeah. It's, you know, again, a few years one way or the other when we're talking these kind of numbers. Yeah. You know, to what level of precision are we going to carry these numbers? Yeah. But it's a long time. But I interrupted you.
No.
You said what?
While you were searching, I wanted to finish.
Okay.
Just mention. So we could all take Maharaj's blessings on this day. We could ask Maharaj to teach us also something new or set a target for us as to what we could start to learn from today. We have already not started. Any advice, Maharaj?
Well, the theme that I've been picking up in the last few days is books. That the, I was in Kuwait and I said, do you have enough books? He said, yeah, we have enough books. Our problem is that, you know, I've stopped bringing more books because we don't have ways to distribute them. Then I was up in Sharjah and they told me more or less the same thing, you know, that we don't have enough, you know, we have enough books, we just don't have enough ways to distribute them. So the challenge is to find more ways to distribute books without compromising security, without compromising security. Find out the ways and means, because the Prabhupada very much wanted to distribute his books, and he told us that our movement becomes strong and pervasive, it spreads by the distribution of our books. And even people who were telling me that they couldn't, we have a problem, we don't have enough, can't distribute, but they were telling me how they became devotees because somebody gave them a book. So the books are so powerful. So you can find out ways and means. Of course, Damodar month is coming, so you'll meet so many people. And in that context, I'm sure so many books will be distributed. So that's just been on my mind the last few days, because everything is so throughout the Gulf just going and going and going. So it's always wonderful. But if I have to put my two bits in anywhere as what can we do more, the more we can distribute these books. And while I'm thinking of it, anyone who has any connections in Africa, because I've got a new responsibility. We've started a new division, BBT Africa. There are about 3,000 languages in Africa. The Bible is published in 300. And some of the big ones are Zulu, Swahili, Igbo, Yoruba, Xhosa. There's quite a number of big, big languages apart from French and Portuguese and English, Afrikaans. So anyone who has any connections in Africa or is familiar with Africa, anything with Africa, I'm interested in Mahavishnu Maharaj, I'm sure is also interested. I'm sure I'll be seeing more of Mahavishnu Maharaj now that I'm connected with Africa. And the biggest language in Africa, who knows? Not even close. What's the number one African language?
English.
But not even English, no.
French?
No.
Afrikaans?
No. Oh, Afrikaans is small. Only one part of one country.
Only the white South Africans follow, isn't it?
part of the white South, yeah, the white South African whites. No, not Zulu. Stumped, right? Not Gujarati, no. Sanskrit? No, it's not Sanskrit.
Arabic?
Yes. 50% of Africa speaks Arabic. 50% of Africa speaks Arabic. So we have an interesting field there for reaching Arabic speakers. So far, I think we haven't really done anything. And I think we'll be probably a little cautious about anything we might want to do. But it's a big field, and it's a different kind of field from the Middle East. They're a little further away, and there should be more opportunities for reaching people with Arabic literature. So that's probably not the first thing on our agenda. They're already working on Zulu, Swahili, Afrikaans books we have a little bit. But someplace in the agenda, definitely, Arabic will be there. Half the people of Africa. And that's, what's Africa? 900 million people, something like that. So a lot of Arabic speakers. Here, the Gulf has only a few. Africa speak. So that's not... you asked, you know, what could people do? But that's just... maybe that's what should I be doing? That's work that's cut out, not for me alone, but for BBT Africa. How to distribute books in all of these languages, and especially Arabic language. That's not for you guys. Don't worry about Arabic here in this part of the world. I think we're going to hold back on that. But anyway, if anyone has any connections in Africa, I'm all just getting a list and getting
a connection. Send the broadcast on that.
Yeah.
To ask for connections.
Thank you very much.
While during the month of Damodar, we are setting a target to reach 3,000 homes, Maharaj. Wow. And at least we can target to distribute books worth at least 25 dirhams in each house. And that would mean 10 lakhs worth of books in just 3,000 homes.
Wow.
And if some of them are saying they don't want to give it to any of their particular addresses, and it's a standard Vidyadan, maybe we could set apart a percentage for Africa. Africa really needs the support. Maybe Indians have access to books more than any other part of the world.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, anyone who wants to... Yeah, Africa's... They're a startup. We're a startup organization in Africa. There's a little bit of headway in South Africa over the years, but continent-wise, it's really just getting going. So if anyone wants to contribute books for Africa or in any way get involved in Africa, there's always something from Africa. What is that in Latin it was said, out of Africa, always something new. The Romans said, out of Africa, always something new. So we hope that there'll be a lot of new things out of Africa also for Krishna consciousness. Okay. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Srila Prabhupada. Ramchandra Bhagavan ki jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrindiki Jai. Gaur Premanande.
On behalf of the congregation also, we have a 2001 dirhams that I would work on.
Thank you very
much.
Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna.
Yeah. Kirtan, Kirtan.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you so much.
I'll take leave. I'll find me too before you go.
Okay.
Thank you,
Tom. Okay, everything stops here. No Kirtan, no Prasad. Raikanu, there he is, okay.
Oh.